This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. I'm Matthew.
Oh, God, please.
And she's Molly. And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, chew it all, and you can't have any. And this one's been in the works for a while. I'm going to take this whole episode by myself because Molly's going to be chewing the whole time. And this episode is about sourdough, and it was suggested by listener Autumn.
Thank you, listener Autumn, because thanks
really
to you.
You really sent us on a journey.
Seriously. Matthew, as Matthew will tell us momentarily.
You just said my name a lot of times.
Matthew created a starter named Sylvia. Again, he'll tell us about it in a minute.
Yeah.
But he has been texting me Sylvia updates and photos like once
for
a day
months.
For months.
I think I started like 10 weeks ago.
Yeah, I had no idea how involved this was going to be.
I didn't
and
know
I'm
either.
And I'm so grateful for it because right now that thing that I was chewing, that is a loaf of bread made from Sylvia.
Yes, made by me this morning.
Yeah. So, Matthew, let's go down sourdough memory lane.
Absolutely. So the main thing on my sourdough memory lane is when I was a kid growing up in Portland, Oregon, my parents liked to shop at the Helen Bernard Bakery or possibly Helen Bernhard Bakery. There was a lot of disagreement about the correct pronunciation because it's B-E-R-N-H-A-R-D, a long-running neighborhood bakery in Northeast Portland. And they had these little sourdough rolls, and they were the kind that has, like, you know, little blisters all over the crust. So they're super crispy and very sour, like San Francisco sourdough style. And I loved those things. That was a real special treat. I believe that bakery is still there. I think it's been open since, like, the 20s.
Wow. I've never heard of it. It sounds like one of those great neighborhood bakeries that is totally non-trendy.
That's exactly what it is.
Love that.
Yeah. They're not rustic. They're not, I don't know. They're not like doing like
fouilletine
or something.
They're not making tartines.
They're not making tartines, exactly. They're just
Toast.
Making bread.
I remember learning about San Francisco sourdough. Like, I remember friends going to San Francisco and bringing home like a loaf of the sourdough that gets sold in the airport.
Yep.
You know, what is that, like boudin sourdough
oh, yes,
or something?
I've done that for
really?
Sure. Oh, absolutely. Like not the first time I went to San Francisco, but I remember on a trip to San Francisco, I went to like the one at Fisherman's Terminal.
Yes.
Fisherman's Wharf.
Yes,
Fisherman's
exactly.
Terminal. Had,
exactly. With like shafts of wheat on the logo.
What is it, Fisherman's Wharf?
Fisherman's Wharf,
okay,
yeah.
Thank you. Fisherman's Terminal is the one in Seattle.
Yes.
Okay, Fisherman's Wharf. And they have like this ridiculous like conveyor belt with like bread like kind of marching around robotically being carried all over the store. Anyway, it's pretty good.
You know, it's good in that it has that like characteristic sourdough flavor. It has zero nuance
right,
to that
right.
sourdough flavor.
Yeah, is it a great bread? No. Is it kind of exactly what you want in a touristy San Francisco sourdough? Yes.
Yeah. I don't know if my family ever brought loaves of it back, but I definitely remember when we would go visit family in the Bay Area, I remember seeing the like stand for it in the airport. And I remember other friends' families bringing it back from San Francisco and it being mm-hmm. very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So when I moved to Seattle, I got to be friends with my good friend, Kate Knight. Her family sort of took me in. And I think I wrote about them a lot in the early days of the blog. They had like an annual lamb roast. I mean, like really, really interesting people. And Kate's sister, Margot, had been given a sourdough starter by someone, and she gave me a little bit of it. It did not have a name.
Did you give it a name?
I did not give it a name. This was in like 2004. And I remember Margot had a recipe for like a bundt cake that she would make using the sourdough. It was a chocolate sourdough cake with like a chocolate glaze. Anyway, the sourdough starter she gave me was not very sour. And I have to say, I abused that sourdough starter and it kept on going. Mm-hmm. I think I had it from 2004 to 2006. I went through periods of being really excited about baking with it and making cake and things like that, but I did not take good care of it. Anyway, the one period of time when I remember making a lot of bread from it was, this would have been when I would have first come across your name, Matthew. This was in the days of eGullet.
That's me.
This food forum.
I'm not eGullet, I'm Matthew.
No, but this food forum, Matthew and I both used to be active and from like, I don't know, 2002 to 2004 or something.
I
feel like those are the golden days of online food forums. There was this guy named Jack Lang.
Okay.
And maybe he was really active in like the bread baking forum or something.
That makes sense.
But he posted his like sourdough bread recipe and I made it using Margot's starter.
Maybe we should just call the starter Margot.
I, in the early days of my blog, was into baking with this Jack Lang recipe. The loaves of bread were never very good because this sourdough starter was not great. But I remember some of the loaves did crazy things in the oven.
Ooh.
Like they must have had air bubbles in very strange
like
places.
Like yell for help?
Yeah, they became sentient sourdough loaves. No, one of them sprang like two tiny dough balls from the underneath of it.
Oh, wow.
Like testes, really.
Yeah, I get where you're
and
going with
I
this.
I found this hilarious.
Oh,
and
that's
I took,
very funny.
I took a picture of it and posted it on my blog. And my sister, who is like of a totally different generation from me.
Sure.
She's 22 years older than me. I remember having a phone call with her not long after, and she told me how inappropriate she thought it was.
It sounds like you're alleging that that like 65-year-old people don't think balls are funny.
Yeah,
and I think there are some among our listeners who would beg to disagree.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, I went through a period of time with this sourdough. I never made very good bread. Sometimes I would use the like the discard from it, from feeding it, to make crumpets. I bought crumpet rings.
Oh, yeah.
I was a wild 20-something.
Yeah.
So I would make crumpets.
Spreading your crumpets all over America.
Exactly. I would make crumpets with this sourdough starter. I made that Jack Lang bread. It never turned out very well. I mean, no knocks against Jack Lang. Mm-hmm. It was totally my fault. I was a horrible starter parent.
So I definitely did a starter once before, and I think it just never took off, and I gave up.
Yeah. Mine definitely, what do you call it when you let it sit in the fridge for a while and a layer of liquid forms
on top?
That's
called hooch.
Well, I used to call it hooch because it smelled like alcohol.
Yeah.
But what is it?
It's just like a whole bunch of, it's like vinegar, basically. It's like an acetic acid-rich soup.
Is it good for anything?
It means your starter has gotten very sour. So like at the point that
but
hooch.
But my starter didn't make very sour bread.
Right, at the point, there's a trade-off between sourness and activity.
Oh.
So like, by the time you've gotten a bunch of hooch, like, your starter is pretty worn out and is going to need a lot of refreshing to be good at leavening.
Mm.
So we'll talk a little bit about how to make things more or less sour. We'll try not get as technical on this episode as we did on the pineapple episode.
Okay.
How about that?
Okay.
Can I tell you what sourdough is?
Please, take it away.
Because I knew sort of, but now I know more. So sourdough is, it's a colony of yeasts and bacteria that is used to leaven and flavor bread and bread products. And the yeast primarily produce carbon dioxide, and the bacteria primarily produce lactic and acetic acid. And that's a vast oversimplification because sourdough is a whole ecosystem, and it's very complicated.
And it's living in your refrigerator right now.
It's living in my refrigerator right now. Like, literally, that jar of Sylvia has trillions, quadrillions maybe, of organisms in it.
Wow. That's so cool.
And they're all my friends and my only friends.
Mm-hmm. Well, because I've stopped being your friend.
Right, because I wouldn't shut up about my sourdough starter.
Yeah.
Pliny the Elder was absolutely on top of this. So sourdough baking has been around since prehistoric times, which means there's a lot we don't know about it. Like, archaeologists are always finding like an ancient sourdough starter or loaf or evidence of sourdough baking. Mm-hmm. What does that actually look like? I don't know.
Did you ever, hold on, I once dried out my sourdough starter and sent it to someone.
I haven't done that yet.
I poured a thin layer of it on a piece of parchment and let it dry in the air.
Someone sent me some starter once. I think that was the previous starter I did. Mm. Someone maybe on Eagle had sent me a bit of their starter. And yeah, it went fine. I just didn't really know how to take care of it. I was young.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, anyway.
But I wasn't ready to be sourdough parent.
I wonder if people have found dried sourdough starter or, you know, evidence of.
Yeah, that's possible.
Anyway, I was just speculating. Mm-hmm. Go on. Now that your mouth is full.
Mm-hmm. They found a really old first edition of, what's the name of the guy in Portland?
Ken Forkish?
Ken Forkish's book. Okay, so Pliny the Elder wrote about the sourdough method. Like, he was very clearly writing about a method where you save some dough and put it into the next dough in his masterwork, Natural History, which was published in 79.
Anything that guy did not write about?
No, because... So I learned more about Pliny the Elder while researching this, too. I did not realize Pliny the Elder started his book in 77. That's the year 77 AD. And he'd been, like, researching it for decades. It was called Natural History. It was basically everything he learned about the natural world, and then had almost finished it by the time he died in the eruption of Mount Vesuvius in 79.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. This mm-hmm. is fascinating. I'm sure I could find a really great biography of Pliny the Elder.
Maybe. I don't know. There is some evidence that the lactic acid bacteria in sourdough gets into the dough when insects poop on the wheat or stored flour.
Hmm. Okay.
There's been like one paper on this, so I wouldn't put too much stock in it. But they did see they found Lactobacillus sanfranciscensis in insect guts.
Why is San Francisco, you know, why is sourdough associated with San Francisco?
So it's because of the gold rush.
Ah.
And, you know, people like gold rush miners, gold panners, gold people, like,
bring their sourdough starter
and, you know, live off the bread made from it. And they were called sourdoughs. It is not true that you can only make good sourdough in San Francisco. It's probably also not true that sourdough made in San Francisco has like a particular taste that you can't get anywhere else. It's just a regional style.
Okay. Okay.
And sourdough is used for breads around the world. There's the Sangak flatbread in Iran, which it looks real tasty. Mm-hmm. Injera is a sourdough bread.
Mm-hmm, like, made with teff flour.
Yep. So it's, made with a starter. Idlis, the Indian bread.
Yeah.
I found this so interesting. So when you make a sourdough starter at home, often it will go through a period where it smells really funky and it is producing a lot of gas, but is not really ready to raise bread yet.
Okay.
And that's because of a Lucanostoc species of bacteria that kind of does well in that early sourdough environment. And that's considered like the bacteria you don't want in Western bread baking. And it is the bacteria that produces idlis, the characteristic flavor of idlis. So like what is considered like spoiled versus nicely fermented varies hugely from culture to culture.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. You are so excited.
I'm so excited.
Matthew is grinning telling me
Danish
about this.
Rye bread, like mm-hmm. for smørrebrød, that's a sourdough bread. Sourdough bread is all over the place. Anywhere people make bread, obviously commercial yeast didn't start until 100 or 200 years ago.
Okay. So hold on. Let's talk about Sylvia, because yes. I don't remember how you made her or how you like even chose, because you got a book. And
I got
how
a
did
book,
you choose
although
the book?
I started Sylvia before I got the book. So I think the book was recommended to me by a listener. It might have been listener Autumn. I don't remember. So the book that I've been working out of is Artisan Sourdough Made Simple by Emily Raffa. I don't think there is any other sourdough book on the market that is even close to as good as this one for the home baker.
Wow.
There are a lot of
sourdough
right,
books.
Right, and there are a lot of bread books in general that sort of, you can tell that they were written by a professional baker who is doing their best to keep the home baker in mind, but still is in the mindset of a commercial bakery.
Okay. And
this is not one of those books. This is a book by a home baker for home bakers, but she is still like super rigorous with recipe testing. Everything is done by metric weight.
Wow.
It's a great book.
Hold on. I don't want to spoil the fun. So I'll add my 2 cents.
Don't
in a
spoil the fun.
Okay.
However, I did not use her starter method, although I think it's almost exactly the same as what I ended up using, which is the King Arthur flour method that I got off the King Arthur flour website. And basically, the way you make any starter is the most basic method is you combine some kind of flour with water, usually an equal amount by weight.
Mm-hmm.
Then you keep adding more flour and water once or twice a day and removing the excess so you don't end up with an exponential amount of it. And over the course of a couple weeks, usually is what it takes, it will, you know, go through phases. It will, you know, you might attract some bacteria you don't want for a while, and it'll smell weird and you'll think you ruined it. Then it'll go dormant for a little bit, and then it'll start bubbling up more. And I got to the point where mine was okay, but not great. And then I read somewhere, if your starter isn't as lively as you would like, try using rye flour. And the first time I put rye flour into Sylvia, she went berserk.
Wow. So how long would you say it took to get from like an initial mixing of flour and water to the point at which you knew that like Sylvia was there and you needed to add rye flour?
Well, I didn't know I needed to add rye flour until I just like stumbled across that advice.
Okay.
But because if I did it again, I would just be using like 50% rye flour from the beginning.
Okay.
But 2 weeks. Like, and many recipes say it'll be ready in a week. And if you are lucky and or live in a warm environment, that's possible. But 2 weeks, I think, is really more realistic.
Okay.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This episode is brought to you by Masterclass.
Matthew, this weekend, I took a class from somebody who I bet you admire as much as I do.
Okay, let me see it. Let me see if I can guess who that is. Denzel Washington.
No, so close, though.
Okay.
Margaret Atwood.
Okay, yeah, very similar.
Yes. So Margaret Atwood, she has a series of 23 classes on Masterclass.
23 classes.
23 classes. And I only had time, honestly, to watch two of them. But one of the ones that I watched was about how she chose to do to write The Handmaid's Tale in first person, where she wrote Alias Grace from multiple points of view.
Wow.
And so it was so interesting to listen to her talk about like the feeling that she wanted the book to have and why a story should be told from this perspective or that one. Anyway, even though I'm a writer and I teach writing, I think this stuff would be fascinating even to people who just read the book. It was so great.
Yeah, I mean, Masterclass is for you. If you're like me, a bit of a prima donna, and you're like, I want to learn something, but I only want to learn from the best,
mm-hmm.
You go to Masterclass. You can learn to think like a boss with Martha Stewart. You can learn to shoot three-pointers with Steph Curry. Like, if you imagine the person who's best at the thing you want to learn, they are probably already on Masterclass teaching how to do it.
That is accurate. And plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So, like, zero risk here. If you are a lifelong learner, and we certainly hope you are,
If you're a lifelong learner, why are you listening to this show? Instead, head over to Masterclass for an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
That's masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
You know, I feel like there's a lot of misinformation about out there about, like, where does the yeast come from, Matthew?
Okay, there's so much. We're going to talk about some sourdough myths. We're going to be myth busting. Is that a trademark term?
Let's debunk.
Okay, the yeast and bacteria in sourdough comes almost entirely from the flour that you use to make the starter. When you buy flour, it is full of yeast and bacteria spores. You'll hear that it comes from the hands of the baker, or like you're capturing it from the air.
Yeah, I've always heard the capturing it from the air.
This is not true, and we know it's not true because it has been tested by trying to make a starter with sterilized flour, and you cannot.
Ah, okay. So wait, but I remember this Nancy Silverton method. I remember watching a blogger back in the day, I can't remember who, make a sourdough starter using a method that I think Nancy Silverton wrote about, where you use grapes or something, like you're trying to like get yeast from the skin of the grapes. Talk to me about this.
So that will neither help nor hurt. Okay. It absolutely makes a good starter. My guess would be that if you use that method... after a few weeks, if you tested a starter made with grapes initially or without, you would find little to no difference in the microflora.
Okay. So it's just sort of like different sources for yeast and bacteria.
Yes. Now, having said that, at King Arthur Flour, they have a sourdough microbiologist who works for them named Deborah Wink, who has written some incredibly awesome, super nerdy blog posts about sourdough. And she found that one thing that really does help by making an inhospitable environment for those bacteria that you don't want is using pineapple juice at first. Because it is very acidic.
And so then you don't get like the idly making.
Right.
Bacteria.
It's not good for making yeast. Idlies is good for making Western sourdough breads.
Interesting. Okay.
But you don't really end up with any different result after a few weeks. Again, it's just kind of to kick things off on a better foot.
Okay. So why did rye flour help Sylvia so much?
Oh boy. I tried to figure this out. Essentially, for some reason, rye flour is a good food for yeast and bacteria. And if you think about it, like, whole grain flours spoil much more easily than refined flours, and it's because they've got more nutrients in them, micronutrients of some kind.
Okay. Why is she named Sylvia?
Oh, Sylvia is named after the pulp song Sylvia, which we're going to drop in a little clip of right here. It's one of my favorite songs, and the chorus goes, keep believing and do what you do, and that sums up Sylvia's work ethic.
It sure does. So Matthew gave me some Sylvia in a little Tupperware.
Yeah.
And Matthew, like, you even got out your label maker and wrote Sylvia on the label and put it on the Tupperware. And then you gave me another little Tupperware that says Sylvia Feed.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Which was just 50% all-purpose flour, 50% rye flour.
So I baked my first loaf with Sylvia.
How did it go?
Over the weekend. So I was initially like, listen, Matthew, I'll admit that when you gave me Sylvia, I was like, I don't want this.
Oh, I knew,
like,
this was going to be a hard sell.
I don't want anything else to care for. Like, so I just handed it.
You already have a child, a dog.
Myself.
Yourself.
I have a partner who, to be clear, I don't care for like a child. and I just finished writing the first draft of my third book.
Woohoo!
And so, like, I just...
I was there when Molly turned in her manuscript.
Matthew really was. Matthew was my first reader throughout the process.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I did a pretty good job.
You were great. Anyway, but I was like, Matthew, I want no responsibilities. I basically am just going to spend the rest of the summer, like, lying in a bucket of rosé.
Yeah, but then you gave me
Sylvia.
I gave you literally billions of little organisms to care for. Yeah.
Anyway, so I took Sylvia home and I was like very, very grudgingly fed her.
Yes.
But then she like got so active and she was so cute.
I know, right?
She was so cute.
When you feed a sourdough starter, it climbs up the sides of the container.
And it's like, I'm here.
Yes. And you can see the bubbles and smells so good.
Anyway, so I made bread from her. I used the Everyday Sourdough recipe from Artisan Sourdough Made Simple, the book that you just recommended. And it was so easy. You know, basically I took some Sylvia, I kind of thinned it with water. I used King Arthur bread flour and fine salt. I mixed up the dough on Friday night, super easy. Mm-hmm. I think I let it rest for like 30 minutes and then like mixed it a little bit more. Yeah. And then I let it sit overnight. I was worried that it had overproofed overnight because I kind of like slept in a little bit.
Yeah, and like it probably got real big,
right? It got really big. But then and this is also like a no knead bread, we should add. So basically there's no kneading involved.
That's one of the things I like about this book is that it takes like the things from that, you know, that book that everybody had a few years ago, like artisan bread, 5 minutes a day or whatever, like that it's a no knead method and you bake it in a Dutch oven.
Yes. So anyway, my first loaf was incredible.
It looked amazing.
I couldn't believe it. It was so good. June was like over the moon about it. June decided we should call the loaf Sylvia.
Yeah, I sometimes call my loaf Sylvia.
Yeah, I think pretty much all of our loaves will be called Sylvia. Last night, Ash and I ate the last of Sylvia, toasted up with a little bit of salted butter. And Ash proclaimed a true love for Sylvia.
Oh.
And I thought, you know, I'm happy to share Ash with Sylvia.
Yeah, you said
Sylvia is worthy.
If you like Sylvia so much, why don't you marry it?
Yeah. Her. Why
her,
marry her.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So
anyway, I'm so impressed. Like, really, I was not in the mood for baking. I did not want to do this.
Yeah. And Molly was sending me all these sourdough pictures, and I was like, nerd.
Yeah. And then I started sending Matthew a bunch of pictures of the bread and the crumb. And anyway, I'm sold.
I said, this is inappropriate.
I'm sold. I can't wait to make more.
Okay. Yeah. So you're going to keep Sylvia alive?
I'm going to keep Sylvia alive.
Okay.
She's in the fridge right now. She's chilling.
Yeah. So let's talk about, like, some other sourdough myths, like sourdough is a pain. It's really not.
It's really not. So basically, Sylvia, if we keep her in the fridge, we only feed her once a week.
Once a week is fine.
And if we keep her out on the counter, you need to feed her every day.
Yeah, although if you miss a day, is she going to die? No.
When I was baking with her, I pulled her out of the fridge like 24 hours before. I fed her in the morning, then I fed her again in the evening, and then I used her.
Yep. Yeah, that's all you need to do.
I'm just using her and using her up.
Yeah, now, like, rye flour is kind of expensive. I might try experimenting with, like, reducing the percentage of rye flour.
But I would also say, Matthew, think about how much it costs to buy a loaf of bread these days.
Oh, yeah, like $6 for an artisan loaf of bread, something
so
like that.
So how much does a bag of, like, Bob's Red Mill rye flour cost?
Oh, I don't know, like $3.
Okay, so stop complaining.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Okay. Another thing that we talked about, San Francisco sourdough and how that's a style of sourdough bread that's really sour.
Yes.
This homemade bread, you can definitely taste that it is sourdough bread, but it is not overwhelmingly sour. And sometimes I want a more sour bread. And this one I deliberately made a little more sour than ones I've done in the past. And there are we'll maybe link to this. There are methods for like highlighting or de-emphasizing the sourness of sourdough bread.
Okay.
So I made the starter a little thicker and fermented it a little longer.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Really cool.
Super cool. Yeah, my bread was not very sour at all, but it had a really nice crumb that was both moist but like not dense.
Yeah. So one thing that I have had to kind of come to terms with is I don't think you can quite get as good a crust and crumb in a home oven, even if you use the Dutch oven method, as you will from like a really good commercial bakery.
Yeah, that night, like
the crust
crisp,
is never going to be quite
thick,
as
shattery.
Thick, and the crumb is never going to be quite as dry and airy, I guess. Mm-hmm. But you made this bread. It cost almost nothing, and you know. Get over yourself, me.
But the other thing is, I mean, you were inspecting this crumb today and feeling like it was too dense, but it's in no way gummy.
No.
Like, in no way gummy. And I mean, a lot of homemade bread is not great.
Right.
This is, I could not believe what a good loaf I got out of this thing right away. Thank you, Sylvia. Mm-hmm. So, Matthew, I think we've talked a lot about sourdough now.
I think we have.
Yeah. Hold on. What else have you done with this?
Okay. So there are other things you can do with sourdough, including, like you mentioned, there are recipes that are made from, like, kind of Sylvia's cast-off leftovers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Crumpets are great for that. Pancakes.
Mm-hmm. Where you are not necessarily using the starter for leavening, just for flavor. Mm-hmm. So I reworked your waffle recipe, mm-hmm. which you published on your blog
which
years ago.
Which is not my recipe. It's from someone else.
Your stolen waffle recipe that you stole like a thief in the night.
I think I called them like waffles of insane greatness mm-hmm. or something. I don't think I named them
I don't think
them
you
that.
Named them
No.
That. And I adapted that recipe to use Sylvia mm-hmm. instead of just flour and water.
Yeah.
And they are so good. They are the lightest, crispiest waffles I've ever had. They brown beautifully. You've got sourdough flavor coming through.
Wow.
I will post the recipe. Okay. SpilledMilkPodcast.com.
Okay. What about, have you made any pizza from Sylvia?
I have. I've made both pizza and calzones, which I never know whether to say calzone or calzone. I feel like kind of a tool when I say calzone.
Yeah, you sound like an idiot.
That's not even the right Italian pronunciation.
Calzone.
Yes. So anyway, I made calzones. I was in the zone. And really good. Like it's you get to where you can kind of figure out pretty easily how to adapt a commercial yeast recipe for sourdough. Mm-hmm. And like it's not, you know, the dough texture was not the same, but it came out great.
Speaking of calzone, do you remember the scene in Singles when Debbie Hunt is going to go have her video made at Expect the Best?
Yes.
And she's talking to like the shop girl and the clerk is like, oh, he's totally the next Martin Scorsese.
Yes, I do.
It reminds me of calzone.
Calzone.
Yeah.
I made garlic knots, which were really tasty. I always because I'm when I make bread, I want it to be really well browned. I always tend to over bake garlic knots, which are supposed to be sort of like underdone and chewy.
Yeah.
So I need to give those another run, but the flavor was great.
Cool.
One thing that is true of Emily Roffa's book, Artisan Sourdough Made Simple, and is true of bread books in general. Like I got the new Peter Reinhardt mm-hmm. pan pizza book, which mm-hmm. also has sourdough method for every recipe. If you write a book about bread or pizza, or we can probably think of other things too.
I know what you're going to say.
You only need like one or two recipes for those things, and then all you can do to pad out the book is come up with
a whole
absurd
bunch of
flavors.
Dumb toppings and flavorings.
Right. So like I think there's like a Philly cheesesteak pizza in that book.
It drives me nuts. Yeah. And I know why it happens.
Right. I mean, like, what else are you gonna do? You can't publish like a 40-page cookbook.
Like a pamphlet.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, I find that annoying.
So I don't
too.
Begrudge them that, but it is kind of funny.
Yeah. Matthew, I'm getting sleepy. I feel like eating
That's the thing. Like I
feel so chilled out by
when
this Sylvia
I was,
bread.
When I was like, starting to test breads for this episode, like a couple times I ate like 3/4 of a loaf of bread myself over the course of the day.
And then you were like, ugh.
Yeah, and then I was like, I don't need dinner anymore.
I'm very sleepy right now. I think you're going to have to make me a cup of tea.
I'll make you some tea.
Okay. Well, Matthew, I'm really glad you gave me some Sylvia.
What can we do, listeners, what can we do to convince you to make sourdough? Could we send a bit of Sylvia to every one of our listeners?
No, God, I don't want to get involved in this. No. Matthew's going to spend the rest of the summer drying and shipping Sylvia.
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to get, like, I hate being involved in fulfillment.
Wow.
I don't like
Lori
to be fulfilled
to
myself.
This?
I don't like to fulfill other people's needs. They say no man is an island. I beg to disagree. But what you could do is just everyone come to my house.
Okay. Okay, great. All right, cool.
My address is 123...
Poopy Lane.
Poopy Lane.
Okay. All right. Well, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast, where, I don't know, tell us what you named your sourdough starter.
Yes, please.
Tell us, I don't know, like, do you have any... I don't know. Do you have any?
are you fulfilled? Yeah. Anyway, is anyone truly fulfilled?
You can also find us on our website, spilledmilkpodcast.com, where we'll post Matthew's adaptation of The Waffles of Insane Greatness.
Yep,
sourdough
we'll post
style.
A link to buy Artisan Sourdough Made Simple.
Thank you, Emily Raffa, for writing that book.
Thank you, listener Autumn, for suggesting this episode.
And you found us wherever you found us. So
yeah, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, CastBox, whatever. Whatever you got.
Whatever you got.
Review us, yeah. Please.
Okay. Thank you for listening to Spilled Milk.
Keep believing and do what you do.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
I want to burst into song, but it's a demanding chorus to sing. But
you did.
Keep believing and do what you do. Something like that.
Okay. I'm Molly Weisenberg.
And I'm Matthew Webster Burton. All right, it's Friday morning. I got Sylvia here. Looking pretty bubbly.
That's good.
I had to throw away all but 4 ounces of Sylvia, which feels wrong every time. 4 ounces. Oh, the glooping. Okay, there's 4 ounces of Sylvia. Gonna discard the rest. So long, suckers. Cool part is gonna be when wife of the show, Lori, gets home and looks in the compost, and there's this fizzing, bubbling, fragrant mass, and she says, "What did you do again?" I mean, actually, she says that for one reason or another every time she gets home from work. 4 ounces of goo. 4 ounces of goo. 4 ounces of goo. Okay, I'm gonna add 4 ounces of flour. It's no good Foley sound for measuring flour. It's very quiet, contemplative affair. 4 ounces of water. All right. Stir it up. Oh, yeah. Looking good there, Sylvia. Okay, you go back on top of the fridge. I'm going to take a shower. I will see you again in 12 hours.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.